It is a surrendered and abandoned people that when the world sees those kind of people, they recognize and they see the evidence of God. So in the book of Acts, when they said, these are they who have turned the world upside down. Father, help us to be just like that. So effective, so empowered by your Holy Spirit working through us, that everywhere we go, it gets changed. We walk into our home and it changes into alignment with God. We walk into our workplace, it gets changed into alignment with God. It gets transformed. The atmosphere gets sweeter because of your presence. We, as your temple, bear your Spirit. Because oftentimes it gets hidden. You get hidden by our flesh. But when we become a people abandoned unto you, the flesh falls to the ground and the Spirit rises and the world is changed. Thank you, God, for all that you have done for us. And we recognize we're not paying off a debt. Our salvation is freely given by grace. But what we are doing is so thrilled over who you have made us to be and what you have done in us that we just have to tell the world. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Continuing along those lines, that phrase that was mentioned in Acts is, these are the ones who turned the world upside down, and now they're here. And so I do pray that when our time is coming to an end, your life, my life, that Athens, Texas, and Henderson County is way beyond what it was when we started. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I just know that our vision has to be greater than growing a church or whatever you've envisioned your salvation to be. It's got to be greater than that. It's got to be world transforming, because that's what he's called us to do, and he's big enough to do it. Amen. He's big enough to do it through us. But I do want to take you to a passage of scripture, Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, I'm going to give you a parable. I do want to point out the fact that oftentimes we get into thinking of acts of righteousness or acts of sin, and we get into kind of the separating of one from the other, and we really, I need to help us to understand, as the Lord continues to help me to understand, it's really a heart thing. It's a heart condition. We often get so wrapped up in the actions and is this wrong, is this right? But if we would get back to the heart condition, the actions will flow naturally. And so that's why we've been calling this naturally supernatural. And that it ought not, our Christian life ought not be awkward. It ought not look forced. Evangelizing our friends, telling them about Jesus, it ought not have to have a formula. It shouldn't have to be just strained as we do it. It should just flow out of a love relationship with God. But in order for it to do that, we need to make sure that this heart is in love with God. I don't want to look in Matthew 20 at this parable. As Jesus gives this parable, how many times have I read it or heard it? And it brings conflicting emotions in me. Chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven, by the way, this is Jesus speaking. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Just real quick, this is going to be a 12-hour work day. The Hebrew clock works different than our clock. And so when you'll see phrases like third hour of the day, sixth hour of the day, ninth hour of the day, Hebrew work day, and their understanding, at daylight is the first hour, basically. And it's a 12-hour day. So we're working can to can't. That's how we say it in the country. Daylight to dark. And so you have these day laborers, and a denarius is basically a daily wage. And so you have these day laborers who, when they get picked up to go work on the farm, that they have an agreement on this is how much we're going to be getting paid. So verse 3, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And by the way, 6 a.m. would be the first hour, 9 a.m. the third hour, the sixth hour is noon. And so kind of give you a little concept of time. Verse 4, and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. So now he does not say, this is how much. He says, I'm going to give you what's right. Verse 5, again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. How many times have I read this story and thought, if you'd have just started with the first, we wouldn't have a problem here. This is a setup. That's what this is. He's going to get that guy that worked 1 hour. I'm going to pay you first. Everybody following along here? All right, so he gets the guy that worked for 1 hour and he pays him first. Verse 10, but when the first come, verse 9. And when those came who had hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius, one day's labor, one day's wages. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Now catch this last phrase. Or is your eye evil because I am good? That statement right there, I mean, I'm reading this every time. I'm like, that man got a point. That man worked 12 hours in the heat, and he got the same as the man who worked 1 hour in the shade. And so I'm looking at this, and what this is a heart check, is it not? The question comes is your eye evil because I am good? See, what we get into is the sin of comparison. Why do they have that and I don't? Why do they get to do that and I don't? Why are they so blessed and I'm not? Why? And we get into the sin of comparison, and we expose our heart condition. Because the question is, why are you looking at them and not him? The question is, why are you so concerned about what you get and not concerned about others? When Philippians 2 says, esteem others better than yourself. The question is, how's your heart? Is your heart like his? How is your vision? Do you see what he sees? Because when our vision is dark, let's look at this, Matthew chapter 6. When our vision is darkened, it affects everything. You ever get in a dark mood? You ever get, am I the only one in here that gets a little throat off now and then? I mean, just getting those little attitudes every now and then. And somebody say, hey, you having a good day? What's good about it? You know, that kind of thing. You walk into those guys that are, you ask them, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored. Well, look at you. Just want to walk around. I need to get back in my prayer closet. Matthew 6:22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. How are you seeing things? How are you seeing things? Do you get to only seeing the negative? Do you watch too much news and it gets in your soul? Do you watch too much of what's going on in this world and just gets in your soul? And now you're just seeing darkness and it turns into darkness. You're just seeing negativity and it turns you negative. It gets in you, don't it? if the lamp, verse 22 again, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. You ever seen those optimistic, positive people who it's just like you can't get them down? I mean, it's just, well, God had a reason. And, you know, it's just, well, aren't you just a peach? And yet I want to be just like that. And so how do I get just like that? I need to get so in tune with the rhythm of His heart that now I see things the way He sees things. I get my eyes off of me and comparing and I start looking at Him. Verse 22, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, check this verse out. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I want to tell you, Jesus is referred to as the light of the world. We see in the scriptures that light is often referenced as righteousness. Light is referenced as the kingdom of God. Light is represents it's the divinity. And He's saying, if the light that is in you is darkness. Well, how that don't work? If it's light, how can it be dark? Well, if what you got from Jesus is nothing but religion, then what happens is you begin looking at other people and say, you're wrong. You're wrong. You need to get your life right. You need to get your heart right. If the light that is in you, if your salvation is nothing but a set of rules and regulations, then I'm going to tell you, the light that is in you is darkness. It's not supposed to look like that. It's supposed to be relationship. It's supposed to bubble up in love. It's supposed to be full of joy and peace. It's supposed to look like Him. It's supposed to look like this landowner who's generous. The question is, can I do what I want with what I got? God says, I'm generous to everybody. Are you not okay with that? Y'all remember the story of Jonah? God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to them. They need to repent. And Jonah didn't want to go. And Jonah went the other direction. And y'all know the whole story, how he got thrown off the boat, swallowed up by a big old fish, spit out on the land, and been in the belly of a fish for 3 days. That's a big old fish. And goes walking up into that city of Nineveh and says, y'all repent, or what happened to me is going to be bad on you. And they said, we repent. And then Jonah sits up there on the hillside. Read the book. It's real short. He sits up there on the hillside, pouting. What's wrong with you, Jonah? You did what I didn't want you to do. Well, what's the matter, Jonah? I knew that if they repented, you'd save them. I don't want them saved. Story ends. Y'all remember the whole story? There was a plant that growed up, and it shaded his bald head. And then a worm came and ate the plant. It's like, it's a story, man. And then Jonah's upset because the plant died. God's like, you're grieving more over that plant because you were getting something from the plant. And those are people. So you don't care nothing about those people. And Jonah just sit like a little toad. And the story ends. Jonah, don't you see? God loves people. And as a messenger of God, you're supposed to too. And if all you got is religion, then the light that is in you is nothing but darkness. What can happen though is our hearts, even as Christians, our heart can turn dark. Our heart, we can become negative. We can become critical. We can become so looking at others is like, I wish they could be as good as me kind of junk. And we really, it's not that at all, because we realize we're just miserable in our own being. Because when you go dark, when you go negative, when you that critical spirit comes upon you, the way you look at things, and if y'all hadn't figured this out yet, I'm telling you from experience. When you look at things, first thing you say is, there's something wrong with that. I'm going to find what's wrong with that. If I can't find what's wrong with that, then maybe I'll receive it. Maybe I'll listen to you. Maybe I'll accept it. But that old critical spirit, that darkness sets in, and so then it affects everything that we look at, and then it affects our heart. So this Sunday, it's last Sunday, a week ago today, got in the truck right after the third service and headed down to South Texas. Our church is a part of Fathers in the Field Ministry. Love Fathers in the Field. And we take in fatherless boys and mentor them, pair them up with a man, and they do outdoor stuff. And because I'm pastor of a church that does Fathers in the Field, I was invited to go down to Pearsall, Texas, and do a little hunt last week. Well, I did it last year too, and didn't turn out very well for me last year. I come back just griping. I was hunting down there, hunting turkey, and I didn't get my turkey, and I hunted hard. And you know, I'm down there griping. Lord, you know I need rest. If you just give me my turkey now, I could go ahead and rest. And I come back just griping at the world. You can ask Miss Christy, you can ask Miss Shelley, I was just griping at the world. I didn't get no turkey. And I act like a child sometimes. Anyway, I go down there this Sunday and starting to hear some negativity amongst preachers. Bunch of preachers. If that don't get you negative, that's, I don't know what will. Bunch of preachers. And I'm starting to hear this stuff. I finally just push off and go off on my own and just trying to talk to the Lord, just trying to keep my heart right. You know, and these guys are critiquing other ministries. And I even asked the question, who are we to judge another man's servant? I'm trying to right the ship, but it's just, there's just too many. And finally, we go out hunting, and I thought, here we go. Repeat of last year. No turkey. Hunt in the morning, hunt in the evening, hunt. I'm like, my goodness. Lord, if you just give me a turkey. I thought, why is it that important? Why am I so goal-oriented that if I don't accomplish that goal, I'm a failure? Why is it that I am wired that way? So finally I decided, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to get down here and enjoy the experience. But then, how quick we can go back to the other way. And we're coming in from an evening hunt, and I'm just kind of back there kicking stuff, you know. There's fence posts, kick the fence posts, kick the dirt. There's a cactus. You don't kick cactus. And I just kind of bite my lip, like, why did I even come down here? Why did I even do this? It's just going to be the same last year. I'm going to go home mad. And that night I decided I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to try and get my heart right. And the next morning I woke up, and the verse of scripture that pops up on my phone was, be quick to listen, so slow to speak, and slow to anger. And you know what? The Lord just kind of just lifted my heart. He said, you did good. You did good. You had a negative feeling, but you didn't respond with negative speech. Let me just kind of tell you the backstory on this. There was a few years ago, I was deer hunting. I was, by the way, if you're of the sensitive sort, if I hadn't offended you yet, I will. But I was over in a staff meeting, and my phone chimed. My deer camera's hooked up to my phone, and I get up from my chair and kick it. The staff meeting, they're like, what's wrong, Pastor? Like, that deer is standing in front of my deer stand right now. And I'm in a meeting right now. So the next morning, I go hunting, and the wind is out of the north, and my deer stand's not set up right for the wind to be out of the north, and I'm busting deer. They're smelling me, taking off. I come home. I come to the office that day, and man, I done bought everything Walmart has, the kill scent and cover and all that stuff. And I go and I shower and I put on all the scent spray, and I go sit in that deer stand that afternoon, and the wind's still out of the north, and here come deer, and they smell me, take off. It's like I've done everything I know to do. I start listening. Due to injury, I have hearing issues, so I can Bluetooth my phone into my hearing aids. So I start listening to a sermon. And I listened to a sermon of why your prayers aren't answered. And as I'm listening, one of the points was because of negative confession. I'm like, oh, I am guilty. I am guilty. I am the worst at negative confession. I get my heart just like was broken over it. I gripe about stuff. Like, everything I have is a piece of junk. My tractor don't ever run. My stuff's always breaking down. I work on it more than I work with it. You know, I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. You've blessed me. Blessed me so far beyond anything I've ever deserved. You've blessed me. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry I've griped about your blessings. I'm sorry. I just turned off the sermon and And it's as if the Lord said, and I believe he did, you want to try it again? Okay. Would you just change the wind? Lord, would you just turn the wind? The wind blowing on the back of my bald head and blowing my scent right there toward the deer. I'm not kidding. It was less than 15 minutes, the wind turned and was blowing in my face. The Lord turned the wind for me. I prayed a simple, stupid prayer. Lord, would you turn the wind? And he did. And then out walks the buck. And then I waxed him. Amen. That's a 14-point buck right there. Got him with a bow. But you know what it was? It was a lesson to me. The Lord said, I'm a good God. And I want to bless, and I want to give you the desires of your heart. But if you continue with this negativity, this darkness, if you continue with, I can't bless that. I can't reward bad behavior. And so here I am down South Texas, and I'm remembering that lesson. I'm remembering that lesson. I said, I'm not going to add to a negative feeling, negative confession. I don't know. You can catch this in a math problem. If you add a negative 5 to another negative 5, what do you have? Negative 10. If you add negativity to negativity, you get greater negativity. You with me? But if you take a negative number and add a greater positive number, now you've gone to the other side. And so when I get a negative feeling, if I respond with negative speech, I have now compounded the negativity, the darkness. If your eye is evil, it's everything in you. How do you see things? Are you only seeing the bad? Are you constantly critiquing everyone and everything? Are you constantly looking at those people and saying, why aren't they blessed? They live like a hellion. They get driving a new pickup truck. You know how we do? And so, I said, Lord, I'm not going to do that this time. I'm not going to get gripey. I'm going to enjoy what you've blessed me with. I'm down here on a free hunt, eating free food. I didn't even pay the gas to get down here. Thank you, God, for your goodness. And if I don't go home with a turkey, that's okay. I'm going to be down here with you. And so I get that verse of scripture the next morning. We should be quick to listen. I'm listening to you, God. Slow to speak, slow to anger. As if God said, you won one. And then that day we went out and I got that. And it was just a lesson to me. The Lord said, I'm good to everybody. But if you gripe about my goodness, then you've turned what is good and blessings that I've blessed you with. And you've now critiqued and compared and criticized, and the darkness has now, you're not just seeing it, you're feeling it. And now you're speaking it. And we have been called to speak life. Amen. There's that proverb that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I know this phrase gets quoted a lot, but notice the last part. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, the New Living Translation, it says it this way. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. If I talk death, I will reap the consequences. If I talk life, I will reap the consequences. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are you saying? Are you seeing what he's seeing? If you're seeing what he's seeing, you'll start saying what he's saying. And when you're saying what he's saying, he will respond in action. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. This is known as the Hall of Faith. And it starts with, now faith, chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're going to be looking at Hebrews 11, and there's quite a few times in here it talks about what we see and what we say. Hebrews 11:1, again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Because they spoke in faith, it was spoken of them a good testimony. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Say what he says. Framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. What is this saying? God spoke, and that which could not be seen was manifested. God had a vision. God spoke the vision into reality. This is how God works. God is a God of vision. If you get close to his heart, and he says, come here and get near me. Now look here where we're, y'all ever try to point something to somebody? And they're like, I'm not seeing it. Come closer. Look down my finger. Get close to the heart of God, and God says, you see where I'm taking you? Now you start saying what you're seeing. This is what faith is. Faith is saying what is so, even when it's not so, so that it may be so, because God said so. I'm going to say that again. Faith is saying what is so, even when it's not so, so that it may be so, because God said so. And the most important factor in that equation is the because God said so. When God says it, you get in on what he says, and then you'll start seeing what he sees. Amen. That's good preaching. I'm preaching better than y'all are. Amen. And so, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. So God tells Noah, this is what you're going to see. Noah says, I don't have to see it yet. I know it because you said it. And Noah moved. Now drop down to verse 13. I'm just pulling out some of these. You could read all of Hebrews 11 and you really learn some lessons. These are individuals who had faith. I want to look at the last one, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Were assured of them. How are they assured of them? Because God showed them. That he showed them. They didn't get it. They didn't get to possess it in their lifetimes, but they knew that it was coming. That's what Hebrews 11 is saying. That God had showed Abraham that I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Abraham saw a big family, didn't see a great nation. God showed Moses, I'm going to bring salvation to the world through this deliverance. Well, Moses didn't get to see it. What Hebrews is telling us is you're getting in on their faith. We are getting in on what they believed in. I want to read verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and did what? Confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in this earth. They recognized that they were a part of something bigger than themselves. They recognized they were something, a part of something eternal. They recognized they were a part of something world transforming. They recognized they were a part of the kingdom of God. You got to have big vision. When you get the big vision, then we don't get down in this penny-ante stuff of, well, they got something I didn't get. They're more blessed than I am. Let's go back to Matthew 20. You look at that story. Why are those guys still standing around at the 11th hour? What would cause you to stand there waiting to get picked up at the 11th hour? Remember, these were day workers and they were getting paid a day's wage. And they needed that to go home and take care of their children. They needed that to go home and put food on the table. They needed that to go home and supply for their family. And why would you still be standing there all day long out there waiting for someone to hire you if you weren't desperate? And God is saying, those people needed it. We think that we're judges unto ourselves, and we look at someone's situation and we begin critiquing and criticizing and judging, and we always deem ourselves more worthy. I was a little hacked off on that trip. First morning out, Monday morning, there's a guy, ain't ever hunted before in his life, kills a turkey. Man, all last year, I hunted, come home with nothing. He goes first day out, never even hunted, don't even know how to. No, see, I was misjudging. I'm more worthy. See, that's ugly stuff. By the way, that guy ended up being my roomie. And we're now great friends. I love his pastor heart. And y'all may get to know him. What a man of God. God knows exactly what every one of us needs, doesn't he? Sometimes he needs you to not get your blessing so that you can get your heart right. So we could have our heart tuned to his. So we can get close to his chest, look down his arm, say, I took you through what I took you through because I'm taking you to where you need to go. Come here and get in on what I'm doing. Sometimes that's going to come through a little bit of hardship. Sometimes there's going to be some lessons involved. But you know what? I'm good. And that's just it. I'm going to go back to that Matthew 20 verse that says, is your eye evil because I'm good? You could just stop right there. He's good. He is good. Don't let his goodness to somebody else cause you to go stanky. See, we would call that when you look at somebody like that, you done gave them the stank eye. Bible, that's the evil eye. Are your eyes evil? Because I'm good. You look at me blessing somebody else and you're upset because I'm blessing them. Because see, maybe today you were the guy hired first thing in the morning. But if your heart's right, it could be that tomorrow you're the guy hired at the 11th hour. How's your heart? Are we going to be those who turn the world upside down? Well, it won't come through formulas. It won't come through programs. It won't come through religion. It will come through a relationship in which our heart is tuned to his heart, and we're going to look at people with love. And the first time we come upon those at the that are desperate, we say, no, just give mine to them. Just give mine to them. Let us esteem others better than ourselves, Philippians chapter 2. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you'd give us a heart like yours. You are so good. You are so loving. You are so gracious. And you have given me so much more than I've ever deserved. Lord, I pray that you would get my heart in tune with yours. That I have the joy of the Lord in me. And I celebrate when others are blessed. Lord, it's an all-out party when others are saved. When families are transformed. It should be a celebration in every one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts just like yours. Generous, kind, loving, full of blessings. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.